The little hand's on the five, and the big hand is not quite right. But it's 5 o'clock. Do you know that there are kids now that don't know how to tell time with a clock? I'm not kidding. My goodness. All right, we're going to start with 360. Tell me the old story, 360. Stand with me, please. Let's sing all three verses. 360. Chad, could you open us in prayer, please? Thank you.
Our Father, we do thank you for your love for us and opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. Your consultants, your blessing on them, our time together. I just ask that you would help us to hear from your word and to apply it in our hearts. Help us to honor and serve you. We call that in Christ.
Thank you. You can be seated. And turn to 513. 513. Speak, O Lord, 513. We shall sing all three verses of 513.
Yeah.
644. Over to 644. We will sing all the verses at 644. Stand with me, please. Ushers, get ready. And 644, around the corner, around the world, 644.
Well, we're pleased to have with us tonight Jim and Peggy Tilson, come all the way from Madison, Georgia, to tell us about the work that they're doing there with Source of Light Ministries. We've supported them for many years. Sorry, about half the congregation's missing tonight, but it's just one of those things. But anyway, glad to have you folks with us tonight. Jim, why don't you come ahead and share what the Lord's laid on your heart and catch us up on what's going on.
Thank you, Pastor. I brought my lunch. Five loaves, two fishes, and no, this is actually my brains in here, but it's good to be back with you folks. Let me get all my tools out here. We're going to be real spiritual tonight. We're going to talk about NASCAR. It has been one crazy year. In my 72, I have never seen a year like this, both personally and medically, with the coronavirus, and politically. We are upside down. But you know what? God's not wringing his hands for any of it. His Holy Spirit is still working. And I'm going to share a little bit about what our overall ministry is doing. And if you're here and have not been familiar with Source of Light, we have some materials back there on the table for you. I had a banner until Pastor tore it up. Now we started to pull that banner out and the tension was gone. So it's kind of rolled back up and stuck in the box. But I brought one piece of equipment that we use in the Braille ministry back there. Well, we don't use that piece, but a blind person would use that. And I know whether they are technologically gifted or not, because when I'm giving them some information over the phone, I can hear this click, clack, click, clack on that Braille typewriter back there. When you go back and look at that, a brand new one of those would run you approximately $1,000 now. Everything is bigger and better in Texas. In the Braille world, everything is bigger and more expensive. I've got some copies of a copy of the Our Daily Bread back there, a copy of one of our Source of Light lessons. I believe it's Lamentations and Ezekiel. I brought a copy of that. and then you just multiply that by 16 or 17 other volumes. And by the way, a brand new Bible for those that aren't technologically gifted in the Braille world will set you back over $2,000 for one Bible. And so it's a very different world. And I am so glad for the guy that taught me, got me started in this, because he made a statement that has really helped over the years. Now, in this coming February, will be 10 years that I've been doing it. It's hard to believe, and I'm still a rookie at it. It's amazing. One of the ladies that does our transcribing of our Sunday school lessons for us, she is in a senior care home. She is still translating. She's 88, and she can walk circles around me. But John used to say, Jim, if you're going to work in this ministry, you've got to think like a blind person. Because their world is so different. You say, well, they've got a handicap. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen a deaf ministry in a church in actual operation? You've seen them. Okay. How many of you have seen a blind ministry in a church in actual operation? I've never seen one. I don't know that one exists. We have some churches that are working with their blind members, but not a ministry directed just to them. So it's been a learning curve, and what it's done for me, it has opened my eyes to all people that have disabilities. And so I tend, when I see somebody, to get in a conversation with them. With a lady in our church, Betsy, she has a dog. Our former pastor, her dog's name is James. Our former pastor called him King James. But he's a lab. And so when I see somebody with a dog, whether they're blind or it's a support, emotional support, or PTSD or whatever it is, I try to get into a conversation with them. And I try to let them know what I'm doing so they don't know that I'm just, coming off the wall with them. And so it does strike up some conversations occasionally. But the ministry itself, right now, we are reaching over 600 blind people here in the United States and around the world. And the neatest group of people, we are actually not sending them any material. We have a blind ministry that is not associated with us, but we call them a sister ministry in Manila, Philippines. And when I have a document on my computer that is ready to go to press, although we don't call that, we call it embossing, ready to go to press, I put it in an email, attachment, and click. And however much time it takes to get from here to there, I don't have any clue. But they are reaching over 120 blind Filipinos with that one click. So technology is great if it is used properly. And the blind schools now are starting to teach. They have for a number of years now. But they're actually teaching the blind students not so much to, they still read, but they are also teaching them technology. How to use a computer. Now, their computers talk to you like your phone may talk to you. And most of them have a phone, they have their computer, whatever. So we're able to reach a group of people where they don't have to have this bulk of material. It's on a thumb drive, or it's on an attachment. And so it's opened up a whole new world to me, because I am not technologically savvy. I know what I'm doing with the computer to do what I'm doing. I'm learning a lot. I sometimes wish that I had been born maybe 10 years later, so that I would have gotten into that much earlier. But the ministry with the blind is a very fascinating ministry as you talk to these people on the phone. I've gotten to the point where I can get a minute inside of a conversation and know whether they're up or whether they're down. And a lot of them are down. And especially during this time, just think of the lockdown. One person told me the other day, I tell people when they complain about this lockdown, welcome to my world, because they feel isolated, so many of them. They go out, they try to get a job, but an employer will not employ them, even though they have all of the skills, because there is a mental block there between employer and employee that this person can actually do this. And so most of them are living on government subsistence. And we have an opportunity to not only give them the tools to enrich their Christian lives, or in some cases, bring them to Jesus Christ. And that's what our ministry is all about. But let me talk to you just a little bit about the overall ministry of Source of Light. It's been a strange year. And March 15, we locked down our facility. No one from the outside can come in. We have everyone within our facility. When we're in our offices, and if you were there and saw the age of some of our people, you will understand the precautions that are being taken. If we're in our offices, no masks. If we go outside of our office, we are to wear a mask. Thankfully, we have had zero problems. Now, we've had two of our people because of an outside situation that ended up with COVID, but not inside. So thankfully, that's what has taken place as far as COVID is concerned. One thing that we always did on a Wednesday, and Pastor has been there, is have chapel. We haven't had chapel at Source of Light for middle of March. And so if you start counting months, that's 7 months coming up. So we have gone to a different process. And this has really, for those of us at the headquarters, this has really opened our eyes to what's going on around the world. We are every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. We have a Zoom meeting with any of our missionaries, our branch directors all over the world. And they can, if their internet is good. You know, we complain about our internet. Have you ever complained about your internet around here? We can complain about our internet, but we've got it good compared to some of these countries. And sometimes we'll get about half of them on. But we will ask them, our director will ask them, Tell us, give us a report from last week. What's going on with you and your ministry? And you know, this has really opened our eyes to some of the things that are going on. If you think our political system is crazy, right now, we've got it easy compared to some of these countries. When they're in a political system, and some of them in Africa are in that right now, there are murders every day that are politically motivated. I mean, it's you actually don't know whether you're going to live from one day to the next if you're out on the streets. Some of our countries, at the very beginning, were locked down 24/7 except for maybe 5 hours that you could get out and shop for a week. Try that out. No going to the convenience store for that last thing that you missed. I mean, so there's a lot that's been going on out there that we don't understand. We hear the media from here, there is a country, in fact, there's five countries that have a worse COVID infection than this country per 100,000. Peru is the worst. But you see, we don't hear about that here. We only hear about what's going on, the deaths, etc. And all of it is not good. But so we're able to tap in to them and to hear them many times with tears in their voices and see if we're able to get both the audio and the video, be able to see the tears in their eyes as they report a pastor that they've been working with. He and his wife have passed away with COVID and have left children. This happens over and over and over again. But in the midst of all of that, God is working. Last week, we had one of our missionaries in Uganda. As he was giving his report, James said, "We had four Muslim parents come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior while they were reading their kids' Source of Light Bible study lessons." Now, we don't know what age group the kids' lessons were, but they were reading the kids' lessons. Why are they doing this? They're stuck at home. Four. One week we had one of our directors. We have six zones in India because it's such a big country and such a tremendous population. We have six zones, and one of those zones reported in a two-week period, they saw 26 people come to know Christ as Savior. Not in a church meeting. It was one-on-one because churches aren't allowed to open. 26 come to know the Lord as Savior, and he said 19 baptisms. Wow. Where's that in the United States? But they're so hungry because everything that they have based their lives on has failed them. This government shutdown around the world has actually, I believe, been a blessing to reaching people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and are searching for the truth. So this is happening over and over and over again. One thing that we are facing in at Source of Light right now is the U.S. Postal Service. I don't know about your mail delivery and that type of thing, but we have been waiting for 11 days now for a pallet of paper to come from Indiana through the U.S. Postal Service because it's free matter. We don't have to pay for it. But if you have been following the postal system during this political season, there is politics being played in the U.S. Postal Service right now. And not on the local level, but in the higher areas, because of who was appointed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been a slowdown. And even at the mission in our accounting department, we are seeing envelopes coming in with gifts for our missionaries and for the ministry that were posted over a week ago, postmarked. So we are having a if you would, please, pray that we will get that pallet of paper. Right now, I do not have any paper to finish out the November editions of what we do every month. Zero paper. And so that is a need that we have there at the ministry. And then continue to pray for our people there, that their health would be good, that we can continue this work, not only there, but around the world. Because many of them, of our 40-some branches, I believe it is now, we only have two that that are directed by American missionaries. All of the rest of them are nationals. And I thank the Lord so much that that our leadership saw fit a number of years ago moving in that direction because if we ever lose a favored nation status with another country, especially in the area of Christianity, we've got the work still going on right there. And we are not printing as much in Madison now. When I first came to Madison, let's see, it was 19 years ago next month, we moved into Madison. And Madison was producing almost 8 million pieces of literature a year. Now it's about 1.5 million. But we're printing much overseas. It's cheaper. We don't have to pay the freight for the materials to get there. And what a better way for them to be self-sufficient in the ministry under our direction. So the Lord has made a lot of changes to our ministry over the years, but they've been good changes. And the ministry is almost 70 years old. So thank the Lord for what he's doing there. Do you know someone... and it used to be that the saying was, there's a Bible in every house. Not anymore in America. We are producing this right here. Nice little attractive Gospel of John. And it's got some helps in the back. If you can use them, I've got a few back there. Take them. Pass them out. Get them to somebody that's down on their luck, so to speak. You get a conversation with them. Something else that we are producing, and we've had this quite a while for our international ministries, but it's being used more and more here in the States for the very reason that here in the States, we are becoming very, very secularized. I'll give you an idea of what we're talking about here. Barna did a review of churches, etc. And when James and his family and the other families were looking at where God would send them to plant a church, the thing that grabbed their attention was Reno, Nevada was listed as the second most secular city in America. Listen to these statistics. These are close. Not exact. You can go to the website and get it more exact. But less than 20% of the people go to church, period. That's Catholic churches, Mormon churches, Church of God, Methodist, Baptist, you name it. They're all lumped together, less than 20% in that area go to church. And less than 1.5% are evangelical. And evangelical is not necessarily a very good word sometimes. So here in America, there are people. We have a young man in our church. I say young. He's young. Young compared to me. Drew's what, 30 now? And he wanted to date one of our girls because she worked at Kroger's with him. And she wouldn't allow it because he was not a Christian. And he came to a pie and praise. We do that on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving at our church. Came to a pie and praise. That was the first time that he had ever been in the doors of a church. Period. Right here in America. So this booklet right here, and I have a few of those back there, if you can use them. Who is Jesus Christ? They have no clue. And this is a good booklet to give to an individual. I don't care what their standing is academically. There are people out there that have no clue. Oh, they'll talk about God. But their talking about God is not what you and I would deal with. So, also there are some highlights brochures here that you can pick up back there. They show you all of the lessons that we do in English and give some other information. I don't remember whether I used this when I was here before. Does anybody remember this little gadget right here? It's called a papyrus player. When we were looking for an audio way of presenting the gospel, not just paper, but audio, we found this, guess where? Social Circle, Georgia, about 20 minutes from us. And this particular piece of equipment, let me see if I can get it going here.
Question page.
Can you hear that?
Question one.
Okay.
In what book is John 3:16?
That is one of our lessons being read. And you can use it one-on-one or in a large group. It is, let me turn it off here. It is powered by regular wall sockets. You can power the battery. USB port. What's that? Solar. I don't know how many times when I was growing up in churches, you would hear missionaries saying, we were getting ready to show such and such a film, and the power went out. I can actually power this up in here using these lights. So it never goes out. The internal memory, 40 hours. the USB or the SD card, one SD card, another 20 hours. So we can download the scriptures read in their languages to people that do not read. They do not learn verbally or by eyesight. They learn verbally, and so this is a piece of equipment that is available. Of course, they've updated this since we started using this. You know what this and one SD card costs? Somebody give me a shot. $49. You're close. $65. Boy, that's a cheap way to get the gospel out of it. And so we have that being used in certain parts of the world to people who have never, either their language is not written or they have never learned to read. Now, as we close out, I could talk a long time about Source of Life. But as we close out here, I'm going to get my Bible out that I never use. Because I use a different edition. It's the scroll, you know. I head up the security at our church, and so I never know where I'm going to be, and I can hear what's going on. I never know where I'm going to be, and to try to keep up with my... So I just went to this. I never dreamed I would, but I went to that. But we have a fallacy. It has even crept into our fundamental churches. Methodology. You've got to do certain things certain ways. And if that doesn't work, just wait long enough and something new will come on. Have you seen that in churches? Well, they try this and then they try this over here. And this isn't just mega churches that are going through this. I have been reading a book. To begin with, it was not a very interesting book. And then I got to this section. I said, boy, that hits exactly what we're talking about. Those of you that get our prayer letters, I'm going to use some of the material that's in here because I want to dovetail all of this together. And if you don't get it, you can sign up back there, or if you get the paper copy and would rather have the electronic copy, you can put your email back there. This gentleman said this. In the church today, we like to raise the bar, up the ante, and lay out radical calls that most people can't possibly answer. Nor do we expect them to, if we are honest. We understand that some will fly coach, while others will find their way to first class. There are those dedicated few who are truly spirit-filled, victorious, soul-winning, or society-transforming warriors. The rest of us are just ordinary. We will continue coming to church regularly, receiving God's gifts and sharing them, participating in praise and fellowship and hospitality, and continue supporting the ministry financially. But we know deep inside that we aren't going to change the world. So let's try something different. None of this is new, of course. The same was true in medieval church. It was fine to be an ordinary layperson, but everyone knew that if you wanted a direct route to a higher experience of God, you needed to be a priest or a monk or a nun. Marriage was good, but celibacy was seen as far better. Ordinary fellowship in the parish church and callings in the world were fine, but the truly dedicated took vows that set them apart from the ordinary Christian crowd. And he goes on. And we have a mentality sometimes because of society around us. I mean, who do you see on media every night or listen to on media? It's the important people or the people who have been determined to be important by whatever views they might hold, etc. I know growing up, coming up through the 60s and the 70s, 80s in the church, there was a magazine that put out an article one time a year in their magazine. The 33 fastest growing churches in America. And it was a big pat, pat, pat on the shoulder. Look at who I am. And there was a time in the ministry that I became a rather disillusioned with some of this. Back in 1991, I got involved with racing. No, I didn't own a car. I didn't drive one. I didn't even get to wash it. But I loved watching racing. Now, if you're a Star Wars geek like my son-in-law, you'll love this one. I mean, the details on this are amazing. First time I bought one of these cars, I was looking at the bottom of it. You know what sticker tires are? They've got the new sticker on them, you know, that they usually take off before they send you out. When they do this in racing, they don't take that sticker, but there's the sticker right there. That's some of the detail that's on these. Who gets all the credit for a win? Who do you hear about? The driver or the owner? Are they really the important ones? No, there's a lot of ordinary people. Ordinary people that you never see. They're not at the racetrack. There are some ordinary parts. What is that? You know what that is? Get your glasses on. That is a lug nut. That came off of Jeff Gordon's car in the last Talladega race. That's why I have it. I have a friend that works in NASCAR, and he got that for me. So what's the big deal about that? Holds the tire on. Well, what if one of those comes off? You're disqualified. Whatever standing you came in, you are disqualified. That is an important part. Get into the engine. Do we have any mechanics in here? Don't look at me. But the intricacies of the engines and the little tiny parts, without those parts, that car is not going to function. What about the guy that designs these to make them run the best? He's never mentioned. I've been following NASCAR for almost 30 years now, and he's never mentioned. How about the guy that builds the engine? Or the one that restrictor plate racing, that he develops that restrictor plate so it's exactly to the right nth degree, the holes in it. But you never hear who does it. Why? Because they are, say it with me, ordinary people. Now really, they're not ordinary. They're pretty brilliant. But you never hear about them. My father-in-law was in World War II. He fought in the invasion of North Africa, from Morocco all the way across. He was in the first wave that went into Sicily. Second major battle that he was in. He was shipped to England, and on June 6th, 1944, what took place? D-Day. He was in the second wave on Omaha Beach. That was a bloody place. And then he was in the Battle of the Bulge. And you know what he told me? He didn't talk about it a whole lot. He said, if it wasn't for back then, I don't know what it is now, but back then, for everyone on the front line, you had to have 10 people on the back line with supplies and everything else to keep one man on the front line. Now, with the technology that we have today in military, I'm assuming that's probably even higher. In racing, you have the pit crew. You have the owner. You have the driver. But there are literally scores of people back at the home office keeping that thing going. Somebody's financing it, etc., etc., etc. In my prayer letter that I sent out, I used this scripture reference. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now I understand after the service, Pastor, who are the deacons in here? Okay. pastor and the deacons are going to be meeting. Oh, that's because they are the important ones. You see, we have a mentality that's built into us by our society, by the world in general, that people in places of position and authority are the important ones. The rest of us are just ordinary. In this letter, I shared with you about Blake, the gentleman from Delaware that started getting our daily bread in Braille. And when he found out that we had Source of Light literature, which is just, we have about 7 series of our Source of Light literature that is available in Braille now. When he found out, he said, "Can I take that?" I said, "Sure." He took the first one and he was talking to me. He said, "Boy, this is good." And we were talking along a spiritual line. And you know what he said? He said, "I've got a friend in in Texas that I've been sending my Our Daily Bread to. May I send her these also?" Well, you see, Marta was one of those that had been seeking for the truth, and she had never found it. Blake sent that to her, and on the second lesson, she came to know Christ as Savior. Now, I had a Baptist-costal fit in my office when I found out about it. I shouted. When it was all over, I found out from Marta. I talked to her just this week, encouraging her. Excuse me. And she said, "By the way, my sister just came to know Jesus Christ as Savior." Whew. Woo! You know, that wasn't in the letter. That was this week. And so hopefully we're going to get her involved in these lessons and start training her up. But Marta, in her search for the truth, the last church she was in was a Trinitarian, a Unitarian church. Well, boy, you're not going to get the gospel there. But she was seeking right here in America. And you see, it doesn't make any difference whether you're pastor or deacon or a Sunday school teacher or whoever you might be. If you're part of the team, you get paid. Not today. But somewhere down the line, you're going to get paid when you step over and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want you to know this evening that Marta got saved because this church has been giving. And allowing us to do what we do. Reaching these people. Marta's sister, Dee Dee, got saved. Not directly, but indirectly. Those 6 blind students in Uganda got saved because of ordinary people giving to the Lord. It's not about position. It's not about talent. but it's about faithfulness. Well done. Thank you, church, for being faithful. I have more to say, but I must stop right there. Thank you for being faithful, even during tough times, because the Holy Spirit sure is being faithful. People are being saved, and people are being called out to do the job. Pastor.
Thank you.